Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Miles here. Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. I am your host, Chris Miles, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, teaching you guys how to create finances and free up cash flow today, how to live your life and have a better quality of life right now, not hoping and praying that 30 or 40 years from now you might have some sort of retirement or be able to retire at poverty. This is all about creating cash flow and creating your ideal life today. So I am so excited to be able to talk about this topic today. Not because it's a great topic in the sense of positivity. This is not necessarily the most positive topic, but it's definitely a very, very essential topic. And so before we talk about Y2K15, just want to remind you that you can see other blogs, other educational information at moneyripples.com. There's also events and things that we do. Just got done doing our last big event of the year. Love to have each of you come out and join us in 2015. So be sure to watch for that. There are some great, great things. And I cover a lot of these things that we talk about here more in depth. So anyways, be sure to join us. Be sure to check that out. Also be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes if you have not done so. And make sure you check out these previous episodes. Some of these previous episodes we've had have actually been focused towards giving you other alternatives than just going for the traditional advice that has not worked for decades. So I want to talk about, are you really prepared for Y2K15? Now, this is something that I was just talking with one of my team members, Jeremiah Burns, one of my consultants. And as we're talking, this kind of came out. He mentioned something about having another Y2K possibly coming up down the road. And then all of a sudden I kind of joked, yeah, Y2K15. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, right when I said that, all of a sudden a lot of the previous training I've had with stock markets and things like that, remember, I've actually trained over 200 people how to trade in the stock market by trading stocks and options and things like that. And all of a sudden that training, everything came back to memory about swings in the market and when they go up and when they tend to go down and how to capitalize when they hit their top and how to get out when they're, or how to capitalize when they also hit the bottom, right? And as I did that, I thought, oh my goodness, Jeremiah, we need a blog on this. We need to talk about this. And so I ended up jumping. We jumped off our call, and I immediately started typing on my computer. Now, at the time I was typing this blog, the stock market, the Dow Jones, is about 17,000 points. This is a couple weeks ago from this recording of this show. And as we look at it right now, just in the days ensuing, those following few days or so, the following week, the market just tanked by more than 1,000 points. It's come back up a little bit, not surprising, especially after tanking that far, that fast. And so it came back up a little bit. Now it's taking a little breather. It's sitting right about 16,350, 16,400, roughly about 4 or 5% lower than it was just a few weeks ago. And I even sent out an email last week before it even got that low. And I said, hey, everybody, here's Y2K15. Watch out. And lo and behold, we're starting to see something like this give at least a little bit of evidence. Now, I'm not totally convinced that it's going to start heading straight down anytime in the near future. It's very possible it could be another few months. But I'll tell you this. If we just look at evidence of what the markets have done, you'd probably be really cautious about whether or not you'd want to keep your money in aggressive stocks and things like that. Now, I need to also remind you, too, that on this show, like everything, I do not know your individual situation. I'm also not securities licensed, so I cannot tell you to buy or sell stocks or mutual funds or anything of that nature. These are all things that I'm just seeing as my opinion. These are all things that I've seen as patterns, and you choose to do whatever you want to do, but naturally you want to seek professional help. Those of you that are already my clients, you already know that we have an investment advisor on our team, and so you already know I send you to him in coordination with the things that I teach to be able to help with that. And so definitely the thing I want you to consider is to at least be hyper-vigilant, to be aware of what's going on. Most people usually ignore the markets and just think, well, you know, everybody tells me to be in it for the long haul. Everyone says that I just need to be hanging in there. You know, whether the market goes up, you buy more because it's going up. If it's going down, it's on sale, so you dollar-cost average and buy it on sale and buy it when it goes down. Here, let me dispel one myth about dollar-cost averaging. Isn't it the most brilliant marketing strategy for financial institutions you've ever heard of? I mean, think about it. There's never a bad time to buy into the market, is there? If it's going up, you buy in. If it's going down, you buy more, right? Here's the problem with that. They say you should do that because you can't second guess the market. Well, the problem is you can't second guess the market. And if you look at it overall, if you're expecting that the market will keep going up over time, which I generally agree with, I think that over time the market will typically go up. Just how much and how long it will take is the real question. And so if it's going up, well, doesn't that mean we're just buying it more and more expensive all the time, and that whole dollar cost averaging really doesn't count for anything? And if it really did count for something, wouldn't we just wait for the market to crash and then buy as much as we can and just save it in savings while it's crashing? So if it's at a high like it is right now, wouldn't we just try to get out and then wait a few years and then buy back in? I don't know. I mean, it just sounds kind of silly to me. So let me just talk about the evidence of what I've seen. Now, markets tend to go in patterns. And I remember even when I was a traditional financial planner, we used to teach that the market would average, give or take, in a 7-year period, 5 years up, 2 years down, give or take, right? Based on what I'm about to show you here, it's more like 4 years up, 2 years down in every 6-year period. But yeah, 5 years up, 2 years down. It's very normal to have swings. I mean, the market cannot go straight up forever. I'd hope even the most uneducated financial advisor would know that, right? So as we see time go on, what I did is I saw this image in my head, so I figured I'd go back to the charts and go back in time and see just what the market has done. So if we go back to before Y2K15, if we go back to the best bull market we've seen. That was before Y2K. That was the late 90s, mid to late 90s. So that market, you started to see up years in 1994. It was a little bit flat in 94, but it started to go up right at the very end, going into 95. And then from 95 to 2000, went straight up. So 94 was an increasing year. Barely increased, but it did increase. 95 increased. 96, 97, 98, and 99 all went up. 6 years in a row that the market went up. Now, what happened after those 6 years? Now, we all remember Y2K, right? We remember that 2000 hit. About March of 2000, the market started tanking. So we started to see the market go down, and it went down for 3 years straight. It was down in 2000 by the end of 2000. So I'm talking about from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So from beginning 2000 to the end, it went down. 2001 was down, and 2002 was down. In fact, 2002 was one of the worst down periods of that entire 3-year period. And then about 2003, March 2003, it started heading back up again. And it hit that low, right? And so 03, so that was 6 years up, 3 years down. Then 03 went up, 04, 05, and 06 went up. And we saw it down to 7, 8, and 9. And then went up for 10, 11, 12, and 13, 14, and so on. Actually, so 9, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, if the market keeps going up. We have to see the market go down a little bit more before it does that, but if it keeps going up, yeah, we could easily see this could easily be still could be an up year, but it may be up just barely, just depending on what happens. So right now we've already seen. So think about it this way: 90s it was 6 years up, and then early 2000 3 years down. Then we went 4 years up, and then 2 years down. And now it's been, if this continues, if it stays up, this will be 6 years up, at least 5 years, if not 6 years up. And then our guess is it going to go down? Will it go down from here? Have we seen a 7-year up period? Not really. It's very, very rare you'll see an up 7 years in a row that go up. Very rare, if at all. I can't think of a period of time where it did go up 7 years. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I can't recall one where that's done that. Typically, the markets have patterns. They have swings, right? It's like they call it the Wall Street waltz. You take 2 steps forward, you take 1 step back. Now, think of this pattern here. Now, even if you're just looking for patterns, right? You remember, like in school, we used to have those tests that say, fill in the blank, fill in the pattern or the sequence. So if we have 6 years up, 3 years down, 4 years up, 2 years down, well, what does that mean if we go up another 6 years? Could that mean that maybe there's another 2 or 3 years down in the future? That is why I got concerned. And I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of people here in 2014 kind of wait around, like they're waiting for something, like they're waiting for a sign or they're waiting for things to improve before they take action. The one thing I want you to realize, too, is that in the stock market, 0% is not your worst scenario. Someone who says, hey, I'm going to put, you know, I get clients that, you know, that don't want to lose money in the stock market, so they decide they want to move their money to cash or maybe bonds or something like that, right? And they'll just want to keep it there. And sometimes they'll say, well, I want to move it there, but my fear is I don't want to get to a place where I'm making almost no money. I'm making very, very little money or making like money market rates. And I have to remind them, I said, well, you know, during that times that the market's going down, you'll be grateful for money market rates. Because if you can lock in your gains and not lose money during that period of time and only gain a little bit of money, it's very, very hard for the market to come back from that. I mean, we just barely got out of the period of time, just in the last 2 years, we just barely got out of the period of time where we finally surpassed the highs of 2000. And actually, it was in 2013 when we finally really surpassed those highs, right in the beginning of 2013. So think about that. We just barely, about 2012, about right about the beginning of 2013, we finally surpassed all-time highs again. We finally broke even with 2000. It took almost 13 years to do that. Isn't that insane? And people are thinking, wow, like they told me the market was supposed to be so awesome, but I'm just barely recuperating all my money. Well, that's the problem with it. You know, everybody's trying to tell you that the stock market's the way to be, but what if it's not enough? Everybody tells you that, I remember I used to tell people in the early 2000s that the market averaged in small cap stocks 12% or even over 12% because there was a time it was more. You know, and so we'd say, well, maybe 10 or 12% we would quote you. The problem is this, is that the stock market has never truly returned 10 or 12% as an average. And I mean an average, not mean the average return, I mean as an actual yield where you're actually getting those returns. So for example, if you plugged those numbers into a calculator, you would hope and pray that you would get those kind of numbers, right? But that's not true. That's not the way it goes. You know, I shared a Dave Ramsey Twitter post that he said, if you save $100 a month for the next 40 years from the age 25 to 65, and you earn a 12% return, you should retire with over $1.1 million. Well, first of all, he got the number wrong. It was less than $1 million. He compounded it for an extra year or so. Secondly, you know, that 12% has never been a reality. If you earn 7% as a net return to the market after fees and everything, not including taxes, just after fees, you're doing pretty darn well. And that makes a drastic difference on your numbers, especially if you're saving for 30 or 40 years. If you use the rule of 72 that's working against you in this case, you know, 5%, that means the market is doubling about every 14 years. So this means that even after 28 years, you're having only a quarter of what you thought you were going to have at 12%. So if you thought you were going to have $1 million, you really only have $250,000. Now, this probably sounds more like what we're seeing with people having retirement today. They aren't retiring with millions of dollars. Even though people are maxing out their 401ks and everything, they're retiring in the hundreds of thousands at best. I had one client that saved for 25 years straight in his 401k with a match, maxing it out, and only had $400,000 after 25 years. Now that's reality. That was actually, he had one of the first plans in Utah, the first 401k plans that Utah had to offer. They didn't even really offer them for normal employees before then. And so I'm saying this because I want you to wake up and realize that if the market goes down, are you going to sit on the sidelines and wait and watch your money disappear? You know, I talk about money leaks all the time. We talk about monthly cash flow leaks a lot, right? Sometimes I talk about annual cash flow leaks with taxes. But I'm telling you that there's cash flow leaks of money that you could have kept had you protected it and kept it well. Sometimes the biggest money that people lose out on, the biggest money leaks that people have, are the money they never see in the first place, the money that never becomes actualized or realized. That is something you got to be afraid of. That is something that I don't want to teach scarcity here, but I want you to be aware and be able to react accordingly, however you feel is appropriate for you. You know, naturally, like I said, if you're my clients, good for you. You've got an investment advisor on my team. You've got me. You've got everybody else to help you out. But for the rest of you that are listening to this, you know, you might want to be able to check this and say, do I really want to be here? Is this really the place I need to be? So, I can't tell you where to put your money. I can't tell you when to pull out your money. I can't tell you whether you should or should not pull out your money. But I can tell you that you need to be aware. You need to be awake and realize that we have a pattern like this where we've seen almost up years in a row. There's a very, very high odd that there's a high chance that the market's going to go down for at least a period of a year or so. There's a very high chance. Again, I can't promise it, but for looking at the last couple decades, this has been the pattern, hasn't it? And that's typically the pattern that is expected in the stock market from just about anybody. So, and that's just normal. Even if the market's going up, it's very normal for it to correct. The trick is, do we lock it in? And also the trick is too, is could we do something better with that money than what we're doing right now? Could that money be used to purchase real estate, for example? My guest, I had a guest on last week, Ron Phillips. Do you remember him? We had him as a guest. Ron talked about using money to purchase real estate and create cash flow today and create some massive returns. And I've seen those returns firsthand. I know what those kind of properties produce. That's pretty amazing what he was able to do, what he's able to do with his team. I mean, those are the kind of returns that you do not see in the stock market, not to mention tax benefits and everything else that come along with it. If that's something, now I don't tell everybody that they should go invest in real estate. I don't think that it's a one-size-fits-all deal. But I see that if it's anything that's of interest to you, you should probably check it out and learn more about it. Same thing if you're looking to get in business, or maybe you already are in business, like a lot of you are. If you're already in business, are there better things you can do with your money inside your business where you're investing in your stock, in your company, instead of investing in everybody else's that you have no control over if it tanks? And by the way, sometimes I've seen people prosper better during recessionary times. Just because you see the market go down does not mean the economy will go down. It doesn't mean that your personal economy or your business will go down either. Many, many people thrive even during hard times or even during times when the market's going down. In fact, I've seen some of the best times, even when there's not a recession. I've seen even for myself, I've had some of the best times during times that people would say that the markets are bad or the markets are going down. It's not a bad thing when the markets go down necessarily. The markets, by the way, are driven by fear and greed anyway. They're driven by scarcity. Why should we try to invest in things that are driven by scarcity anyways, right? And so looking at ways that we can be able to produce better with that money, can we use that money better today? Can we make sure it's safe and secure? Even if you stay in your funds and stay in what you're doing, could we actually just put it in a place where it's safe? Could you move it to things that are more conservative type of funds? And there's all kinds of options that if you seek out professional help that you can do. And that's what's so amazing. And by the way, and I say this because there are so many options. I mean, there's so many things you can do with your money. Now, for those of you that have a 401k at work, there's not as many options. You probably have to just move your funds around, and seeking professional help to move them around are important. For those of you that maybe own a business or maybe just have IRAs or money that's not tied up in your current company, good news, you have lots of options. There are lots of things you could do with that money. That's the cool thing, is that there's always options. There's always things you can do. The question is what you want to do and what's going to be right for you. And I really believe that if you're going to invest in anything, if you have a choice to start over or to try something new, you should invest in things that, one, you have a lot of knowledge in or you want to have a lot of knowledge in, and two, invest in something that really you have a passion for, that you really have an interest for regardless of the money. What's so interesting is that from the 200 people that I trained to trade stocks and options, they did pretty well while I was training them and keeping accountable. But it was interesting to follow up with them after we were done to see what they were doing. And as we were done, I would ask them, say, hey guys, how was it? How are things going with you? And some of them made money, very few made money and made more money when we were done than when we weren't working together. A lot of them, after we got done working, said, haven't done a whole lot in the market, haven't traded a whole lot. Yeah, we made some money, but I haven't done a whole lot. I'm kind of scared to get in again or scared to do this or that. And so if they didn't have me kind of offering that reassurance or even just, letting them talk things out, they were kind of afraid to do it on their own. But it's interesting, the people that loved it regardless of the money, the people that said, Chris, I honestly don't care if I make money in the markets or not, ironically enough, those are the people that actually made money in the markets. They loved it. They said, this is just fun. I love doing this stuff. Those are the people that kept making more money. Now understand, that was like a very, very small percentage of people. It was a handful of people out of 200 that actually would do that. And so I would have you question what you're doing. And I question, what would you love to do? What are some of your dreams? What are some things you could do with that money that would be of interest to you? What are some things you say, Chris, I've always wanted to learn how to do this. Maybe I should try this out. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. Great. Maybe now is the time to do that. Because if the markets are going down, this might be a time to say, you know what, let's lock in whatever gains we have, secure it, and then find out what you do. And by the way, whether the market goes up or down, that may not always be a bad idea. Now, again, I'm telling you this is not advice for you to do that. I just want you to see that there's options out there, that you don't have to do what everybody else is doing or what you think everybody else is doing. By the way, more and more people right now are looking for alternative investments. I see it more all the time. I remember when I started talking about this stuff, even when I was securities licensed, everybody believed that the only way you could make money was inside the stock market. And then we had the big bubble with real estate, so people started getting more into real estate, but most people jumped in right at the high, and so they end up getting burned really, really badly. But I've seen a lot of people lately that they've started to look at it and say, I think there's a better option out there. The stock markets haven't been doing what they overpromised that they would do. Maybe I need to look at other options. And so it's becoming more and more popular to do so. And there's a lot more options that I see there. I'm more confident in than I used to be in the past too. There's a lot of gamblers out there, and the good news is a lot of gamblers pretty much weeded themselves out of the market. They lost a lot of money, and now they're gone. A lot of them went bankrupt. A lot of them aren't trying to sell you stuff anymore. So the good news about downturns in economies is that sometimes you can weed out the people that are fakers. The people that, as I say on the show sometimes, when I bring on the quality guests that we bring on, is that we don't like to have posers, and a lot of those posers will end up losing out and disappearing. But I'm telling you that there are options. There's a lot of things you can be doing. The thing I don't want to hear happening, I don't want to flash forward from now and be doing shows in a year or two and saying, gee, guys, I hope you got out. Or I hope you did something that at least if you're in it, you were able to protect yourself from losing money or something. Because I don't want to be that person that says, gee, you just lost 10, 20, 30, $40,000 in the last few years. I don't want to be the person that ended up being right and then you ended up seeing losses. I don't want that money leak to happen because, I don't want that money to disappear because not only did you lose the money, but you lost the ability for that money to make money in the time that you were losing money. You could have been making way more during that period of time. And I saw this happen, especially around 2007, 2008, and 2009. Same thing happened then. I saw people doing the same thing. And luckily, there were some people that got out. Some people that I saw that we were working with, they got out. Some of them actually did do things like real estate or put more in their businesses and focus more on building profit there and making more money there. And it was fun to see. I saw one guy, he actually was able to use his 401k from work. He was working a job. He was 61 years old. So he didn't have to worry about 10% penalties, but he did have to worry about taxes. And the good thing is he had a what was called they allowed in-service distributions, which meant he could take out money from his 401k and use it however he wants. He could cash it out, spend it, whatever, but he could use it. You just have to pay taxes, income taxes on it, like you always do with a 401k. Well, he took that money out and he bought about 16 properties of real estate. I thought that was really cool to see that he was able to do that. In total, he had over $1 million properties from just his about 300,000 of his 401k. That's cool to see. I've had other people where they've paid off debt using their retirement funds. This doesn't always make sense, but if there's the right type of debt that frees up a ton of cash, guaranteed, like a guaranteed cash on cash return. For example, my investment advisor, we were working with some people where I had one guy in Minnesota where he's able to cash out some just $100,000 of the $500,000 he had from his retirement. He was scared to do this, by the way, because he thought he was going to lose out on retirement. But that $100,000 saved him $50,000 a year guaranteed with some things we were able to do to refinance and pay off some loans. And then I had another person just this last year, just out in Arkansas, same sort of situation. He had a 401k. He wasn't older than 59 and a half, so we had to really be careful. But as we looked at the options, the investment advisor said, hey, if you use $70,000 of this money, and even if it costs you $120,000, and we had a CPA work on this with us too, so we're working as a team, said, man, $120,000 after you pay penalties and taxes, would still free up $40,000 a year. That's like still at over a 30% rate of return guaranteed. And so he did it and freed up some great cash that way. So there's always options. There's always ways. Ways to create cash flow today and ways to definitely, in a lot of cases, guarantee to beat the market. Because I'm telling you, there's no financial advisor out there that's going to say, yes, I can guarantee you'll make a cash-on-cash rate of return in your stock market of like 30% or 50% a year. It just doesn't happen. They can't legally say that. They can barely even say 10% legally. And they have to still say, you know, that past performance is not indicative of future results. You know, and I'm going to say the same thing here too, even just as another disclaimer again, because I'm not giving you advice of what to do. Again, I just want you to open your mind that there could be options, and then I want you to be hyper-vigilant if you start to see things turning around. I want you to be able to not be blindsided by this. I want you to be prepared. And so same thing here is that even if the market's gone up 2 years and then down one as an average, does not mean that this goes up for 5-6 years. It doesn't mean it's going to go down for 2 or 3 years again. I'm just telling you that the odds are definitely not in your favor for going up again. That's all I'm saying, is that you might be able to roll again and get a 7. You might get lucky. The likelihood is, though, you're probably going to lose. The more years it goes up, the more years it's likely to go down, just the way it's always been. So anyways, that's what we're here to do. If there's any – here's the thing, is that if you're saying, okay, Chris, like, we'd love to know more options. Chris, we'd love to have access to you, your team, and everybody else. You know, I don't normally talk about what I do as my services, but this is exactly what we do. One, I don't sell any financial products, so I hope you don't mind that. I do not sell financial products at all. I consult, and that's what I do. I want to stay away from the products so that I give you pure advice. If that makes sense for you, great. If you love that thing, great. I had to do that because I noticed that whenever my pocketbook was tied to a product, I noticed that I did what every other person that sells products does, and that they tend to favor and recommend that one product. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be able to tell people, say, you know what, you should invest all your money back in your business. Or you know what, you should invest in things like real estate investing, things that, you know, that financial advisors don't get paid on. Or you know what, you should invest all that money in paying off your debt or building your savings. Things that, again, financial advisors don't get paid on. I want to be able to make those kind of recommendations so that I know I gave you good, perfect advice. The great news is I've got a huge team of CPAs, those that are accountants, attorneys, insurance specialists, investment advisors, mortgage brokers, you know, real estate connections, and people in all fields that deal with money and business. And hey, if it's something that we can help you, we could definitely let you know. So here's what I can offer you guys that are listening to this right now. If you want to look at options, if you feel that there could be something more, you just don't know what to do and you don't know who to trust, you know, feel free. I'm gonna waive a pretty massive fee. I actually charge a fee of about $247 to do what's called a money leak evaluation. I'm going to give you access to my consultant for no charge. But again, this is something that you have to make sure you mention that this radio show is where you heard this. It'd be no charge at all to you. But you do a money leak evaluation with him where he can look and see where there's potential leaks. And by the way, it may not be the market. The market's one place, but I've seen people lose money in taxes. I've seen people lose money in debt. I've seen people lose money because they're not totally tracking money or they're not making as much money as they could be. So many ways that you'd be losing money, both in your business and the markets, taxes, debt, you name it. There's so many ways that people are losing money they don't even know it. So anyways, I want to offer that money leak evaluation at no charge to you guys listening to this show right now. If you think this show is awesome, please share this with your friends. This is a message I want to get out there. I call this company Money Ripples for a reason because I know there's a ripple effect we create through people's lives if we do this right. And I want to teach true principles first and have those principles spread through people's lives so you guys get real results real fast. Like I mentioned, this is all about creating cash flow and all about creating a better quality of life and freedom and prosperity right now, not 20, 30, 40 years from now, crossing your fingers, hoping and praying the market smiles on you in some way, shape, or form. So, hey, reach out to me. You can email me, chris@moneyripples.com. That's Chris, the C-H, chris@moneyripples.com. Email me. Let me know if you'd like to take advantage of that. Anyways, everybody, I hope you have a great and prosperous week. I want you guys to be able to prosper. I want you to truly win. I want you guys to really be able to have the things that you desire and dream of in your life. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur, telling you have a great and prosperous week. Goodbye.